Penguin Random House Audio presents Double Cup Love, on the trail of family, food, and broken hearts in China. This is the author, Eddie Wong. This is dedicated to my mom and dad. Thank you. Telescopes, binoculars, the feds hate my vernacular. Cameron. The crib Scarface couldn't be more Tony. You love me for me, could you be more phony? Kanye. Now take these words home and think it through, or the next rhyme I write might be about you. Prodigy. Prologue. I arrived at the end of my vision, only to realize it was another door to confusion. Dun dun dun, ba-na-na-na-na-na-na, dun-dun-dun. I could hear Bird in my head, and it was starting to make sense. Like Parker's mood jumping out in a moment of Satori, I took my cue from the horns and put my head down, sprinting towards the finish. I stumbled over the keys, tried to understand the drums, but really just improvised my way to the end, where I realized that all that was waiting for me was another epiphany. The same one that started it all 3 minutes and 8 seconds earlier. Dun dun dun, ba-na-na-na-na-na, da-na-na. But unlike the first time I heard Parker's sax, this realization wasn't hope in the face of rejection. It was despair in the face of acceptance. That old, harrowing, reluctant motherfucker despair staring you in the face with empty hands upturned. Dun dun dun, ba-na-na-na-na-na, na-na-na. You listen to his loop at the beginning of the song, thinking that by the end you'll be all brand new, but nothing. It gives you hope, with a faint whisper through reeds, takes you on an impromptu journey to nowhere, and drops you right back off where you started, with the same loop and a double dose of despair echoing over and over. Dun dun dun, ba-na-na-na-na-na, na-na-na. This was the sound in my head as I watched Kevin Spacey delivering a monologue in House of Cards. There are two kinds of pain. The sort of pain that makes you strong, or useless pain. The sort of pain that's only suffering. I have no patience for useless things, said Kevin Spacey. Was it useless, though? Before I could figure it out, I felt my heart stop, my face turn gray, and my body disconnect from my mind. I sat there on the couch at my friend Gary's house in Houston, right across the street from the Galleria, and I realized I was dying. I couldn't breathe, scared that the last thing I'd ever feel on this earth before I became fish food was Kevin Spacey's political sexual predator vibes. My face got stuck as I fell off the couch onto the floor, underneath the coffee table where Gary's AR-15 rested. How was it legal for Gary to watch Celtic games with an AR-15 around his neck? How was it legal for anyone to walk into a Walmart and cop a 6-inch Subway meatball sub, an AR-15, and the Everything is Awesome single in the same shopping cart? Something's gotta give. It was my body. It didn't make sense. This wasn't supposed to happen. I'd just gotten my shit straight. I had my bills on auto pay. I had to get to Evan. When everyone else in the family left me, there was always Evan. Emery was my ace. Mom was my heart. Dad was the judge, but Evan was my caretaker. I crawled slowly and deliberately. It took every neuron in my brain to communicate with my legs. It was as if rigor mortis had already set in, flesh stiff like upper lips. I had to fight. I couldn't stand, so I kept grabbing at the ground and pulling myself forward with the little traction I could create against the floor. To the reasonable woman or man listening to this, you have to understand that my body was gelatinous. I had achieved perfect rehydrated sea cucumber status, and for the second time in my life, it occurred to me that my mother would be proud. A thought that kept me going as I pushed my body along by pressing my feet against the moldings at the bottom of the wall. Eventually, I got to the door of Evan's room. I could see Evan! I might not be dead! I grabbed the side of the door and pulled myself up with the last bit of energy I had. Evan! Help! He rolled over in his bed to look at me, unimpressed. Dude, what are you doing? You look like a psycho leaning against the door like that. Evan, I just died! What? I just died, man. For real, my spirit left my body. Your what left your what? My spirit left my body. I died. Evan realized this wasn't the garden variety late-night self-realization. He jumped to his feet and stared me in the eyes. "Eddie, what did you do? Your eyes are yellow."
"I ate the indica hash beef jerky."
"So did I. So did Gary. Stop being a bitch.
I ate all of it."
"All of it? And some of the weed cupcake." He slapped me. "Wake the fuck up. You didn't die. What's wrong with you, man?" My heart stopped. My face got stuck. I felt like gelatin and then everything went gray. All the noise woke Gary up from his nap. "What are you guys doing?"
"I'm dying."
"How are you dying standing in the doorway, you stupid fuck?"
"It's gone, Gary. My essence is gone. I'm never going to be the same. The Matrix accepted me."
"Oh my God, do we have to take this fool to the hospital?"
"Calm down. This happened to him before."
"When?" "2 years ago on Orchard Street. We were broke living in an apartment. Me, Emery, Eddie, and Ning, my ex-girlfriend, on 3 mattresses side by side. There's only about $600 left in Bauhaus, my restaurant in the East Village, account, and Eddie used $200 to buy an air conditioner because it was hot. Eddie got really high, Emery got really mad, tried to fight Eddie, and Eddie didn't want to fight Emery, so he ran around the apartment complex with no clothes on, screaming, 'What do you want from me? Take everything!'"
"You think he's going to start running around my apartment with no clothes on?" asked Gary.
"No one should run around your apartment, Gary. There are 2 AR-15s in the living room," I managed to yell.
"Eddie, if you fucking mention gun control again, I'm going to kick you out of my house."
"No, no, no, Gary. I will not shut up. I have to speak up. I have to keep fighting, because the day you stop fighting is the day you die."
I could feel my legs and my cheeks tingle. The front of my forehead still felt stiff and numb, but I was suddenly hungry.
"Eat. I have to eat."
I ran to Gary's kitchen and grabbed the first thing I saw in the pantry. Cheez-Its. Took the box, opened it up, and poured Cheez-Its into my mouth, hoping that I could feel them.
"I'm alive! I'm alive! I can chew! I can eat! I'm not dead!"
"Okay, I think we might need to take him to the hospital. Something's really wrong," said Evan.
"Something is definitely wrong. He's dancing on fucking Cheez-Its in my kitchen, dude."
I wanted to make sure I was alive, so I poured Cheez-Its on the floor and started stepping on them one by one.
"Intention! You see that, Gary? Life is about intentions. I am man. I intend to step on this Cheez-It."
We packed into Gary's car and drove to the hospital, where I did jumping jacks for 15 minutes while I waited to see the doctor.
"What is that boy doing?" asked the receptionist. "I'm staying alive!"
"Boy, you ain't at the disco, so you better sit your ass down."
"I can't, ma'am. I'm sorry. But the day you don't want to be alive, your spirit will leave you."
"Eddie, sit the fuck down," said Evan.
"No, I'm not trying to cause any trouble, but you have to stay alive, ma'am. Every day, you have to fight. If you accept the world or let it accept you, you'll be erased. I mean, you can accept it if that's a conscious acceptance, but it has to be intended. Life is about intentions."
She stood up behind the counter. "Boy, I don't know what kind of drugs you did, but you need to sit down because you're freaking everybody out."
"It was the beef jerky, ma'am."
"This boy overdosed on beef jerky?"
"It was marijuana beef jerky, ma'am."
"Marijuana? Please, let me go get a doctor. I can't have this man doing jumping jacks in my waiting room." 5 minutes later, I was admitted into a room where a nurse checked my vitals.
"You need to be still while I do this, sir."
"Okay, I will sit, but I want you to know I'm alive."
"Yes, sir, you're alive, but your blood pressure is low."
"I died about 45 minutes ago."
The nurse looked at me quizzically and wrote on a clipboard, "The doctor will be in to see you."
As I waited, I started doing squats using my own body weight, flexing my lower leg muscles to make sure they were still firing. After about 10 minutes, the doctor finally arrived. He was a tall white man with glasses. Nothing else really stuck out about him.
"So you ate some marijuana beef jerky?" he asked.
"Yes, sir. Yes, I did, and then I died."
"I heard you were doing jumping jacks. I see you doing squats now. The nurse took your vitals, and besides a little low blood pressure, everything's fine."
"Sir, I agree that I may be okay now, but about 45 minutes ago, I died."
"Son, there's nothing I can do for you medically, but man to man, if you're going to eat weed, I have a bit of advice for you."
"What is that, sir?"
"Don't be such a pussy about it."
"I'll try, but I'm starting to think that this is all there is."
"What's all there is?"
"Being a pussy."
"He said it first. I assure you, I would never use pussy as a pejorative."
"Come again?"
"Running. I gotta keep running."
Part 1. Love.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?